Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday is Memorial Day weekend. It's a time to remember those who have passed away. It's a special time to honor our loved ones and relive special memories about them. This Sunday, we finish up our look at the book of Isaiah. We'll be in chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. When you go to the movies, the theater plays several previews of upcoming movies to entice you to come back and watch other movies in the future. They will include the best parts and lots of action with impressive music to make a lasting impression on you. Isaiah 65 gives us one final preview of what is waiting for God's faithful people. Verses 17 and 18 say, "See, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create a Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy." Revelation 21 and 22 goes even further in depth what heaven will be like. We'll encourage each other on Sunday to stay faithful and stay focused on God's great blockbuster to come, heaven. Revelation 22:5 says, "There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." May God bless you with His presence and His light this week. And thank you for listening.
We are one body with God, creating Word, redeeming Spirit, sustaining Parent.
We are one body with all people, with all creatures, with the wide earth and its seas.
We are one with all that was and is to be.
Shout to the Lord.
Thank you.
Snyder reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon based on Isaiah 55, no charge.
Gracious God, in the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us eternal life and glorified your name in all the world. Refresh our souls with the living streams of your truth, that in our unity, your joy may be complete. Amen. Today's first scripture lesson comes from Psalm Book 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 34. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you, choir. What a beautiful song. I really enjoyed that this morning. Well, graduates, you made it. Everybody's been telling you that you've made it. This is your day. It's going to be a great day for you, but not as much as your parents. But I come to this day with a little bit of sadness. I've enjoyed watching you in all your events. Drama, choir, softball, baseball, basketball, volleyball, football. Jackson, I got to apologize. I never made a golf one. All right, I really wanted to, but I just couldn't make it out there on the ones. But I really was with you guys checking the scores this last time. But I have thoroughly enjoyed, and I'm going to miss seeing you guys perform on those arenas, but I'm going to enjoy much more, like I've told parents as their kids have graduated. Yes, I enjoyed watching my kids and all their different things that they did, and they did a lot of the same stuff that you all did, but I've much more enjoyed watching them perform after high school, go through college, complete those, become parents, get into the workforce, and continue to be adults that are godly and also adults that are going to carry on to the next generation. I know you all will do that too, and just a little bit of sadness with it, but a lot of joy because I know this is a big day, and I'll talk more about that later when we give you your different gifts. But a couple weeks ago, we were in Isaiah chapter 40, and we talked about mounting up on the wings of eagles. God's going to renew our strength, and we will walk and not go weary, and we will run and not be faint. Next week, we'll be in Isaiah 65 as we finish off the book of Isaiah, and I can't wait to preach on that one, the encouragement and the vision that Isaiah gives the people. And this morning, as we look in Isaiah 55, if you want to turn there and hold that in readiness, only 13 verses, but I kind of mapped it out for our graduates today, because as they leave this area, I know some of you may stay around, but most of you are going maybe heading out to different adventures as you get away from California. You'll be going out there and you'll be looking at some of the new things, things that you've never seen before. And I don't know about you, but I have this problem. I struggle with it. About any time that Betty and I go out to eat at a really nice place, I get excited. You know, like Longhorn is my favorite place. You know, we love the steak there. But the problem I make there a lot of times is that I go there really hungry, and that when they start bringing out the appetizers, you know, the loaf of bread, the salad, we always buy the Western sizzling shrimp. Man, I'm gobbling that stuff up because I'm thinking my appetite is unending. And so when the steak gets there, I'm just ready to gobble it, and the mashed potatoes and gravy, I'm not able to finish sometimes because I filled myself up on the appetizers. And that happened to me this past Sunday. Has anybody ever been to the Claysville store just between Ashland and Jeff City there and gone to eat on the weekend? Our oldest daughter reserved the place for us on Mother's Day last Sunday. We didn't get to her till about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And by the time we got there, we're hungry. And if you've ever ate there, man, they bring out a meal. I mean, family-style meal. Stephen, I got the ham and the turkey. Wherever Stephen's at, I made, because it's burger, smokehouse ham, and so we got the country ham. It was delicious. But before they bring that stuff out, they bring out coleslaw. They bring out applesauce. They bring out delicious biscuits. And, you know, you're saying, I won't eat that much because I want to be ready for the main dish. I want to be ready for when they bring the chicken, when they bring the ham, that I'll fill myself up on that. Well, I ate a biscuit. I had two helpings of coleslaw. I had some applesauce to wash it down. And so when they brought out, you know, the chicken and the ham, you know, I started out with little pieces of ham because I really wanted the chicken. That's what I'd heard about them, was the chicken. And I did. I got one good piece of breast there. They bring out the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the green beans. And I'm filling myself up. And the mistake I made was I only could eat one piece of chicken. Man, I wanted to eat that second piece. I wanted another helping of mashed potatoes and gravy. But man, my stomach, well, I started feeling kind of. And then they're also known what for their pies and their cobblers. Oh, to be young again, my son-in-law said, oh, yeah, I'll have some cobbler, and I'll have some ice cream. And so they were having ice cream and cobbler, and I'm sitting there going, man, I just want one more piece of chicken. But I filled myself up on the appetizers. And so as you guys start to head out from high school now, and you start to head off to your different adventures, you're going to have things that come to you. And it's going to be tempting to take those things and take the first things that come your way and let those things push out the things of God. I think too many times we take on the appetizers of the world. Man, we're hungry, we're excited, we think we can tackle anything, and then we fill up our schedule, we fill up our time with the appetizers of the world, and the things of God get pushed to the side, or they're not, you know, as important. I don't know about you, but no matter how much I put back in that box that they give me, it's like you've been defeated. You know, when you eat there at Longhorn, yeah, I need a box. Couldn't fill my meal. You'll give me everything to scrape it all in there, and I'm going to go. I don't know about you, but the next day it just doesn't taste as good as when they bring it to you. When they bring it out of the kitchen, it is the best that it's ever going to be. But I think a lot of times that we are surviving and subsisting on the leftovers of God and not feasting on the main meal that He has for us. So if you'll turn there to Isaiah chapter 55, what do we need to do to make sure that we don't fill up on the appetizers of the world and we make sure that the things of God are prime in our life? And it has kind of a meal theme to it. We start out there in verse 1. It says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. He says, if you're hungry and thirsty, come to my table. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. You don't have to bring your credit card. You don't have to bring your checkbook or any cash. He says, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant with my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because they'll see that you are seeking after God. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call on him while he is near. In those first six verses, he gives us the things that we need to incorporate into our lives, not just our graduates, but all of our lives. He tells us that we need to come, that we need to listen, that we need to seek after him, that we need to make it a priority in our life, that we make sure that it needs to be on the schedule. I told the graduates this when I went to the baccalaureate on Wednesday night, that I told them that when the last things I told my daughter Kelly, she was the one that we left at college. The other two stayed in the Columbia area. They went to Mizzou and they went to Columbia College. So we saw them regularly, although they were away from the house and stayed at the Christian campus house. We saw them regularly. Now, Kelly was going to be 3 hours away down at Drury. And I remember as I was leaving her, we was leaving the dorm down there, and I just hugged her and I told her, I love you, I'm proud of you. I said, pray every day, read your Bible every day, and find a church to serve in while you're here and when you're not at home. He tells us right here that we need to experience God on a regular basis, that we need to come to him and make it a regular part of our life, but we also need to find time. You guys are going to be filled up with study. You have all kinds of classes going on, all kinds of events, all kinds of things that people are going to invite you to be part of, and it's going to be all kinds of things that look entertaining, but you're going to need to find time so that you can listen. It's the one word that he repeats three times in this passage, in just two verses. He says, listen, listen, listen to me. You got to find those quiet times. So you hear that voice that comes through his scripture, maybe comes through a worship service, to make sure that you're headed in the right direction, that you're following the thing that God wants you to do. Then he tells us that we need to seek after him and take advantage of the opportunities that we have with God. You guys have done that because of your parents, because of this church. You have taken advantage fully of everything that this church and everything that has been offered to you, from Sunday school, from church camp, from Lent services, from serving on youth days, all the things that you all have done. You guys have taken advantage of it. You have sought after him while he can be found, because you need to find the Holy Spirit. You need to build that foundation so that you can go on to your next adventure and your next stage in life. But if you're going to make sure that you don't take advantage and you start to push the things of God to the side, you need to make sure you find time to experience him on a regular basis. But what happens if you kind of wander off the path? What happens if you make mistakes? What if you have some failure in your life? I can guarantee you there's going to be times when you make a mistake, you make a wrong decision, and you're going to feel like that there's no hope, there's no coming back from that mistake, or you're going to feel like life is overwhelming you. He tells us in the next three verses what we need to do when those times come. He says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's going to be times in your life when you don't quite understand what's going on. You're going to try to go through life, and you're going to try to figure out what's the next step. And it may seem like you don't know which way to turn, or maybe you've made a mistake that you don't know if you can come back from. But he tells us right there that there's always a path back to him. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see Solomon writes that. He writes it to all peoples for all generations. He looked at the world and he took advantage of all the appetizers. He saw everything that could be done. He says, I'm going to try everything to make sure, see if it satisfies me. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was my reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained after the sun. He says this in Ecclesiastes 5. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. The sleep of the laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much, but as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. He says, I've seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there's nothing left for them to inherit it. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb. As everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. He says, I tried it all. I experienced everything the world had to offer. He says, I did everything that you would think that would make you happy. And he says, this is what I found. He says, to this person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth, to only hand it over to the one who pleases God. So what happens when you head down that path, when you head to college, you head through life, and things don't turn out the way that you want them? God is always there to welcome you back and bring you back and forgive and give you the grace and mercy that we all need in our everyday life. Jesus came to earth to live, to teach, to save, to die, and to resurrect. It doesn't always make sense when we look at that equation. It doesn't fit any scientific formula. As he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's when the faith and the foundation that you all have built these last 18 years of your life comes in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's when that faith kicks in. But the world will try to tell you that, you know, there are things that you can put in place of the things of God. That there are things that look good and you don't need God. They'll make you just as happy as God. Now, I got finished up planting my garden yesterday. Now we're going to be waiting on the elements, trying to get rain at the right time and trying to make sure that the garden survives. Last year we had that really long spurt of heat, and no matter how much water I watered with it, there's nothing that replaces the rain that comes from the sky. No matter the things that you have that come your way in life that try to say, oh no, you don't need God, you don't need church, you don't need faith, you don't need to read regularly, these things will make you just as happy. Well, they barely keep you alive, just like the water of my garden. But nothing replaces the nourishment that comes from heaven to your souls. And then he tells us how we are to live productive lives. The last four verses there, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. He says, the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That sounds like what's going to happen today at graduation. It's going to be joyful and just people celebrating your accomplishments. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. When you incorporate God's word into your life, you're expected to produce fruit. We read it in Psalm chapter 1 this morning that Becky read. The one that is that dwells on God's word is like a tree planted by the streams of living water. And that will produce its fruit in season. You produce fruit for this season of your life in high school. Each one of you are kind of going different ways. Some of you will be in the same place. Now you're expected to produce fruit now in this season of life. And it's going to come time for you to make that decision of how you want to live your life and the principles that you are going to live by. My encouragement to you is, again, not to take on the appetizers of the world, but take on the qualities of God. To serve those around you. To love those around you. Raise your families the way that you've been raised in church so you can carry on that faith and that determination and that love to the next generation. Your lives will need to provide nourishment to those around you. You're going to come in contact with people in your dorms and people in your apartments and people in your classes that have not had the same raising that you have had, that have not had the same privilege of being in this environment all their lives. And they're going to wonder about what's different about you. And you'll have an opportunity to share with them. But when we fill our lives up with the things of the world, it dampens our hunger for God. You know, when I ate all that coleslaw, I liked it. It was fine. The applesauce, man, that was sweet. I mean, the biscuits with the jelly, yum, yum, all right. But when it came time for the main dish, I just didn't have enough room to eat as much chicken as I wanted. Please make sure you find time to experience God, to find His path when you've wandered away, and to live productive, fruitful life so that His word that's been invested in you will now go out and return to Him as one that produces lives of service and love. This has been a class that has revitalized their high school Sunday school class this year. But as they leave high school, they're going to be walking into college. I have already started, if someone wants to, a college-age class right here if I have a teacher for them. We've talked about it in Sunday school. If you'd love to be part of a class of this group of people right here when they come back home, we need a Sunday school teacher for a college-age class. I think one or two of you could probably fill in from time to time. You've already done it this year. But I'm looking for someone that can step in and help this class make their next step from this stage to their adult phase. So what's next for all of you this morning? It's going to be a day of celebration. I see all the different cords around your neck. I've been to your high school scholarship night. I've seen all the things on Facebook that you all have accomplished, and it's great. My encouragement to you that I want to see the continued growth of your faith and the continued influence of your lives in your next phase of life. You know, you go to the grocery store and the stores try to trick you. You know, you don't want to pay for the name brand, so they try to sell you soda that looks like it and sounds like it. Instead of Mountain Dew, it's Mountain Mist. Instead of Orange Crush, it's Orange Splash. It looks good, but when you taste it and you go, it doesn't last as long, it's flat, it's not quite the same. It satisfies for a little bit. My encouragement to you is take on the name brand. Stick with the name brand. Come to Him, listen to Him, seek Him. Repent and turn to Him when you struggle and you've wandered away. He is there waiting for you, wanting you to come to Him. Live God's Word in your life, and your influence will live forever. Don't let the things of the world replace the things of God. This morning, the song that I picked is Be Thou My Vision. And like I said, each one of the songs we picked out this morning had some type of thing that we want to encourage our graduates with and encourage each one of us with. Maybe there's places in your life where you've let your schedule, you've let your life fill up on all these other things that taste good for a little bit, and you've been subsisting just on the leftovers of God. It's time to do a spiritual evaluation and make sure that in our lives that we've not replaced the important qualities of God like reading, praying, fellowshipping, and serving and loving, and just pushing them to the side with the things of the world that only satisfy for a little bit of time. So this morning our song is Be Thou My Vision, and that's my prayer for our graduates this morning.